Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're continuing our fourth week in the Laws of Blessings. And, as we promised, we will review the quizzes that we gave everybody. And you got all three here, 4, 5, and 6. We'll quickly go over the answers. And probably by the time the quizzes are done, the rest of the class will be present and accounted for. And then we'll start with the new stuff today. Okay, just take one of each, Erwin, and you can go along over here. Okay. As we were discussing the altered states of fruits or vegetables, so question one, this is quiz number 4, when does one recite Bore Pri Ha'etz on fruits? Always, never, when eaten in a normal way, when eaten in a large quantity. The answer is C. The brachas for fruits and vegetables are appropriate when eating the produce the way it is normally eaten. What happens if it's not the normal way it's eating? What is the bracha? Shakol. Very good. Question number 2. You're about to eat 2 kinds of soups. A hot bean soup and a cold fruit compote of peaches and plums. What bracha or brachot should you recite? Shakol Adama Ha'etz or B and C? I'm eating both of them now. So, any takers?
B and C.
Not sure. That's an honest answer. Sandy, what do you think?
The bean soup is shehakol and the fruit compote is eggs.
Okay, she got it half right. Now the question is, which half?
The second half.
Right?
The fruit compote has pieces, so it's going to be...
All right, well, the hot bean soup, what is in the hot bean soup?
Beans.
Beans, right? Right? And where do beans grow from? The ground, right? So, yeah, the question was assuming that there were beans flying around in there, right? So, therefore, it's answer D, B and C, right? Because the brachas remain ha'etz and adama, even if they're usually eaten raw, but the cooked state doesn't lower its quality in this case over here, right? Bean soup is inedible without cooking, so the only way you can eat it is by cooking its adama, and the fruit can be eaten raw or cooked. Remember, if it's in a state in which it normally should be eaten, it retains the bracha even if you've cooked it. So here, they certainly are edible in the cooked state. C, what is the bracha on a spoonful of finely ground nuts? C, shahako. What do you say? C, shahako. What does this table say?
C.
Back of the room? C is correct. Why? Because if a fruit or vegetable is crushed, ground, mashed, or otherwise manipulated in a way that it no longer is recognizable, meaning there's no solid pieces, the bracha gets reduced to shahakol. Right? Because we said it is finely ground. So you were right. It was C, shahakol, because it's not recognizable.
If it's little pieces?
If it's pieces, let's say you buy the kind of nuts where you see pieces of nuts, then it would retain slivers. Shell, you know, the kind we buy those almond slivers, or even just little pieces of broken nuts, then it would retain the bracha on nuts, which is?
Peanuts is hadama, and the other nut
is
eight.
I didn't go over that. Well, but anyway, it's shahakol. Okay. Yes, sir.
So peanut butter.
We're going to get to peanut butter. But what do we know about peanut butter?
Smooth is shahakol, and crunchy.
Adama. Right? Smooth is shahakol because it's losing its texture. Very good. Okay. Question number 4. In what is the hard one now? In what instance do we downgrade? Oh, you had a question. I'm sorry. What, on number 3 or 4? Okay, let's ask the question first.
I don't know what grading means. Is it from ha'etz to hadama to shahakol?
Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Okay, that's fine. It's fine. So, okay, good. In what instance do we downgrade the brach of a fruit or vegetable by one level? The levels are eights, then adoma, then shahakol. Now, what has to happen for us to downgrade one level? Okay, any takers?
Unfit to eat.
Which one did you say?
A, unfit, fully grown, unfit to eat.
If it is fully grown but it's unfit to eat, what would the brach be on that? Not fit to eat.
No
bracha. If it's not fit to eat, you don't make a bracha on food that's not fit to eat at all. So A is not the correct answer. Sam?
I put D.
D is correct. If it is not fully grown, yet it is fit to eat. Remember, A and C are for sure out because it says unfit to eat. Fully grown, fit to eat, then that's exactly what it is. So if it's not fully grown, let's say an apple, but it's not fully grown. You could eat it, but it's not the best, but it's okay, but it's not the way it was meant to be eaten. So everything goes down a level. So for example, if it's a vegetable and not fully grown, but it's fit to eat, it goes down to shahakol. If it's a fruit and not fully developed, it goes down a level from eights to adama. So in the hierarchy, eights is a higher level, adama is the level below that, and shahakol is the lowest level. Okay. Number five, short answer. What is the rule for a person from one country who visits another country where he sees everyone eating particular vegetables cooked while he at home always eats them raw? So what do you do?
Do what you do at home.
Do what you do at home unless that's only when you are
visiting.
But if you move, then you have to do what's over there. Okay, six. What is the bracha on strawberry jam as opposed to jelly? Ha'adama. Do we have agreement on this side?
But how much?
Ha'adama is correct. Why? Because when it's jam, jam by definition has chunks of strawberries. That's jam. Jelly is smooth without any chunks. Right? So it might be a semantic question for some.
Well, it is because of the...
Okay, yeah, I know. So Paul asked the question, what if you just see just the little seed things, you know, those little dots? So I looked it up again, and that does not change this. It still is a shahakol. That's not considered like a chunk. You see pieces of strawberry, then it's adama. You just see the little black dots, which shows that was like the seed, you know? Mm-hmm. That will not keep it to be adama. It's still considered a shahakol.
I guess the reason it's semantics is because you don't see those dots in jelly. You'd only see them in jam.
Again, okay, you know what? All I got to say is, do you see pieces or not? I don't care what you call it. Okay? Do you see pieces of strawberry in it or not?
Some jams, yes, and some jams, no.
So then it depends on what you see. So don't look at only the word jam. The conventional use of the word jam is that there's pieces. That's the conventional use. If you buy a jam and there's no pieces, then you'll make a shahakol. If you buy a jelly and there are pieces, you'll make an adomo. Okay, so don't worry about the wording. Look at what your eyes are seeing. Might work out better. Okay, number seven. There's extra copies over there. Number seven. Short answer. How does one determine the bracha over applesauce? So what about it? If you see chunks, then what? It's an eight. And if, at home style, right? And if what? What's the other half? Pureed, or it's really smooth, then it's shahakol. Good. Eight. What is the brach on onion soup made from instant onion soup mix?
Depends if there's pieces of onion.
Depends if there's pieces of onion. If it's totally powdered and it's completely powdered, then it's shahakol. But if there's slivers of onion in it, then it gets the brach of what? Adama. Okay, finished with that. Put that sheet away. We going out to quiz number five. Isn't this fun when you know the answers?
Yes.
I said when, not if. This is all easy. Tonight is going to be really a hard class, so just enjoy this right now. Yes?
Like hummus or avocado dip, are they shahakol?
It's shahakol. Because it's just creamy and smooth. There's no bit, unless it's chunky hummus bits. Chunks of hummus is from chickpeas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, chunky chickpeas, that's another story, right? But if it's smooth, it's just totally not shahakol. Okay, quiz number five. Fruit, juice, and what? And wine. Generally, which bracha do we say over fruit juices? Shahakol. Why? The reason we don't say eights is because the juice is considered a separate entity from the fruit and can never be considered priha eights, the fruit of the tree. Number two, short answer. What criteria do you use to assess whether an incorrect bracha on fruit juice was valid post facto? In other words, if I made a bor pre-eitz on orange juice, how would I know it's post facto okay? What, you need one little condition.
If it's
If it's what?
Made
if it's made from the entire fruit. In other words, it was all orange as opposed to additives. Right? Right, if it's concentrate or whatever, then it wouldn't because of a lot of water. right? But it's the real thing, but it's just all pulverized and liquidy. Okay, three. The specific bracha on juice is made from grapes is the hagafen. It's unique bracha. Four. The reason for wine's elevated status is that it satiates the appetite and gladdens the heart. It may intoxicate you, but that is not what makes it special. Five. Maybe for some people it makes it special, but not in the eyes of the rabbis. Short answer number five. What bracha would you say on diluted wine?
Depends how diluted.
Meaning to say, if it doesn't taste like wine anymore, it's charcoal. If it still tastes like wine but not as strong, then it's a guffin. Six. What bracha would you say on banana liqueur? Shahakol, even though it intoxicates, that's not a reason to make it a guffin. What bracha do you say on brandy? Shahakol also, because of the distilling process makes it less. At a party, ooh, good party here, cherry liquor, apple juice, and tomato juice are served, and you wish to taste them all. What bracha would you say? Shahakol, because they're all fit into the shahakol rule. Oh, see how well, okay, who got 8 out of 8 on that? Yeah, everyone's just embarrassed to say what. Okay, it's fine. Okay, next.
One question. If you did taste them all, you say one shahakol or one for each?
Okay, what's the answer?
You have in mind them all.
You make a bracha on one and have in mind the others. One shahakol. We'll talk more about that in another class, but that's the answer. Yes, ma'am. Fruit is more specific. It's, you know, in other words, fruits and vegetables, they both come from the ground. Borei Pri Adam is more of a general, and there's a more specific, the higher elevated. So shahakol means everything exists by his word. Now that's so general, that's like the bottom of the totem pole. Borei Pri Adam means it comes from the ground. That's more specific, so that's a higher level, but it's still very general because a lot of things come from the ground. Now I say Borei Pri Eitz, that excludes anything else that only comes from the ground, like tomatoes and strawberries, and includes things that are, you know, fruits. And more than that, in a mystical sense, fruits are more spiritually elevated than things from the ground. And the biggest proof is, generally speaking, fruits have a good taste by themselves, ready to take off the tree, while vegetables usually don't taste so good by themselves, generally speaking. Fruits usually grow in a way that you don't have to bend down. You just go right over to. Fruit is the friendly food of the Almighty. Right? And that's more for Tu B'Shvat. We'll talk about that this year. Mirtz Hashem. So that's an elevated fruit. You get a bigger hug when you eat an orange than when you eat a potato. Right? Right? And it's a bigger hug when you have that than you have a piece of meat. Right? Meat itself is terrible to eat unless you spice it. Right? Well, vegetables you can eat even if it's not spicy, whatever you cook. But fruits is just right. It's always good. So that's the elevated status. Okay? Good. Quiz number six. Wine is unique in that it has its own special bracha and A, B, C, or D? B? B? A! A!
BC.
That was a funny one.
So that's why D.
Chip. Okay, some of the best vintages come from southern Italy. That was meant to give you a laugh, right? Okay, well, the truth is, now look, read the question again. Wine is unique in that it has its own special bracha, and you don't always have to drink 2 ounces of wine. That's only if you want to discharge something else. But just wine in and of itself. So the answer is B. It covers all other beverage drinks at the same time. Okay, that makes it. Now, there's no requirement to drink 2 ounces of wine whenever you drink wine. But as we'll look in question number two, though, when does Hagefen cover all other beverages? A, B, C, D? Answer. D, both A and C. The other drinks have to be in front of you or you have in mind and you drink a minimum amount of 2 ounces. Yes, sir?
If you're saying kiddush and
yes, sir.
The
person, you're saying it for, do they also have to drink at least 2 ounces?
For what purpose?
In order to not have to say the bracha on other drinks.
Well, did we talk about that in this class or in a different class? I get very confused. I don't remember which class I'm teaching things in. If somebody is drinking from your kiddush and they want to free themselves from having to make further brachas on liquids, they would have to drink 2 ounces.
I think it was this class because we talked about how the rabbi lines them all up.
Yeah, okay. Again, I'm making kiddush and you want to have some of my kiddush? Okay, and you don't, and you want to free yourself up from making another bracha on the rest of the liquids during the kiddush? So you have to drink 2 ounces.
Okay.
Or don't drink any, and then you'll make a bracha. But if you drink between nothing and 2 ounces, then you're getting yourself in trouble. So you stay away from that. Okay?
Okay, so now...
Follow-up question.
If you don't have any other drinks...
From the minister from Quebec. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just go ahead.
Supplementary.
I'm just... You know, go ahead.
Okay, you're saying kiddush for your family... now, for them to fulfill the mitzvah of just hearing and...
They don't have to drink any of it.
Oh, they don't have.
If people want to fulfill their obligation of having heard kiddush, you don't have to drink any wine. And you can just go right and wash your hands next. Or...
So the little kiddush cups that go around to the people, is that...
Is bad.
Yeah.
Provided. For when? For when? When you're sitting down eating a meal?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're going to wash.
A wash covers the drinks, too.
And you're going to wash. That's going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's going to be fine. And once you wash, you're taking everything out. But if you're not washing, that's going to be a problem. If you're in a shul and that the kiddush, for the upcoming kiddush, they only give you little cups, that's going to be a problem. Yes?
In front of you. Is it okay? It's in your hand.
In front of you, or you know it's in the kitchen, you plan on taking it out. So long as you have it in mind. Okay, I can't read everything in the answers. Okay, C. In order to satisfy all opinions, the minimum quantity of wine that must be drunk in order for its bracha to cover other beverages is?
2 ounces.
B. 2 ounces. Okay, short answers. In the laws of brachos, when is a family member comparable to a guest?
A family member isn't serving.
Is when the family member is not serving, so then their assumption is whatever comes out, they're going to take even if they weren't thinking about anything. Normally, you have to think, have in mind what I'm having and what's coming later.
Right.
But if you're a guest or your family member who's not serving, you can expect anything under the sun to come for you. Okay, next. When do we say shahakol on wine? B, on diluted wine to the extent that it doesn't taste like wine anymore. Short answer. Name the 6 types of bracha rishonos. Just give me the buzzword. The buzzword. Shahakol is 1. Adamah is 2. Eitz is 3. Hagafen is 4. Hamotzi is 5. Is 6. Was that a trick question or something? Or? I thought that was an easy question. Oh, we weren't at the first class. You have to listen online. You can still catch up. It's online. It is. Maybe it's in the second class. Okay. Short answer, what factor determines whether produce gets the bracha ha'etz or adam? It's kind of review. Let's call it a better word, the trunk.
Okay.
If the trunk survives from year to year,
the fruit reproduces the following season.
From that same branch, etc. That's good. If you're in doubt, then and you're not sure of what kind of tree it is, and it's like kind of funny and weird, you know, if not sure if that's the trunk or not, then you make a doma to be on the safe side.
The leaf never withers.
I'm sorry?
The leaf never withers.
I don't know. Maybe leaves wither. How about an apple tree?
Yeah.
Still make an eighth, even though the leaf, but the trunk and the branch stays. Short answer, under what circumstances the bracha shackle set on a vegetable? Give me a few examples. If it's undistinguishable from its original state, one. Another answer is? If it's eaten not in the normal state, depending. It could be cooked or raw, depending on the state. One more?
Spoiled, that he gets deleted.
Yeah, or underdeveloped or partially spoiled. Correct. Excellent. Okay, that was review. You notice every week there's less and less people coming. It's getting... What? Oh, really? I guess, okay. less than the first week. People are getting scared, like it's getting serious now. Is there? I think there's a big lecture. Oh, Pesach Kron. Well, he's more interesting than me, that's for sure. Okay. The thing is, I think, you know, since everything's on tape, it figures, it won't come. I'll hear the tape. And you can't ask questions. Okay. Today is Mizonos Day. Okay. Now, well, let Sandy decide. Should I give people a handout first or last? Should I give it to them now or later? Sandy said, now, I don't care. I decided, let's Sandy decides this week. We'll let somebody decide next. We'll give everybody a chance to decide. You're going to get it anyway, but it's good to have some notes with you. Okay, we're not going to do everything about Mizonos. It's too big of a topic for one night, but we will start it slowly, and then we will see where it takes us over here. Okay, so we already know the main brachos. Okay, now we're moving on to Bore Mine Mizonos, which means God creates all types of mazon, sustenance, satiating foods. So grains, I guess if you're a biologist, you can confirm this, are the most satiating and nutritious foods. Okay? And therefore, a special bracha is said on grains when they are produced in a certain way. Okay? So first, let's talk about what grains are under discussion. So the rabbis tell us it's 5 grains plus 1. 5 grains plus 1. You'll see why it's 5 plus 1. Oh, there happens to be a board over here. So, the five grains are, anybody know what they are?
Wheat.
We're gonna say the grains. Okay? So, wheat is one.
Barley.
Spelt.
Rye.
Oats.
Spelt and rye.
Spelt and rye. Now, there's a sixth one, which we'll put into this category, but it's not as much as the other five. We'll see. And the number six is, you said it, rice. But we'll put a little, like, line. You'll see why. What?
Rice is a grain?
It's not exactly, but it's still in this category. You'll see. It is a type of a grain. It's a type of a grain, but not, the first five are higher level grains. Then rice is a lower level grain. Okay? So now, when eaten raw, you just go right into the cornfield there, and or whatever, you pick a stalk up, well not cornfield, the wheat field, and you pick up a stalk, and you start munching on it. Okay? What's gonna be the bracha? Borei pri ha'adama. Because it's growing right out of the ground. It's growing right out of the ground. So eaten raw, or if you crack open the husk and you just go for the kernel, man, and you eat the kernel, you know, you make a borei pri ha'adama because it came right from the ground. I assume it's edible. So go right ahead and do it, right? But it comes right out of the ground. You know, it could be eaten that way. However, that's not the discussion for tonight. The main discussion is, if you'd like to upgrade these things, and these are the only ones that can be upgraded. You can't upgrade a potato or vegetables or things like that. But these grains, as it were, they can be upgraded to the bracha of Mizonos. Now, what has to happen to upgrade it? All kinds of interesting things. And we're going to learn about all different kinds of Mizonos, and they're different categories. You have to know all the categories, because all kinds of interesting rules comes out of that. So, these grains have to be processed in a way that will now define them as a satiating baked or cooked food rather than just a grain. In other words, a cooked grain food or a baked grain food has an elevated status because you can do all kinds of interesting things with grains that you can't do with vegetables usually. Okay? Now, the procedure for preparing these foods from grains typically takes a few steps, okay? And the steps are in your notes that you're going to get, so you don't have to worry about it. But generally speaking, you have a grain, and first you have to remove that outer shell, the husk or whatever you call it, the outer shell, which leaves you a kernel with a K, right? A kernel. Now, The kernel then is either broken, crushed, or ground up. That little kernel over there. And then the kernels are cooked or made into flour, which is baked. There's a number of things. But you're taking this stalk of wheat or barley or oat, and you're getting into it. You're getting the husk off. You're exposing the kernel. You're crushing the kernel. You're breaking the kernel. You're grinding the kernel. And then you're cooking them or baking them. And then what you get is a nutritious, satiating food. And that gives you the bracha of bore mine mizonos. This is just in general. Can't ask any questions. This is all very general ideas. Okay? And that's the way grain foods are generally prepared. And therefore, mizonos will only happen if you have most of this type of preparation. So again, if you're going to take fresh oats from the field, and you cook them up, but I haven't taken off the husk to expose the kernel or things like that, then, and I cook up, oats right out of the stalk, if you want to do that, right, what will be the bracha on it? Still adama, right? Because you haven't removed the outer shell, you haven't broken the oats, so it's still adama. Now here's an interesting thing. There is a way, a little bit around having to go through all those three processes. Let's say the oats are cooked to the point where they completely lose their form. And now that's equivalent to like smashing and mashing it, right? Those kernels, you could either mash them before the kernels and then cook it, or just cook it long enough that it accomplishes the same goal, because they're all just, lost their form. And you got this nice gruel or porridge, right? That would be mizonos already, because the intense and long cooking has accomplished what the other steps would have accomplished anyway, right? And additionally, even if only the outer shell is removed and the oats are cooked without being crushed or broken, but if they're going to all stick together, then that would have a status of mizonos as well. Okay, so it's not hard and fast. You have to go through those three steps only, but there's other ways through intense cooking where you can achieve that process as well. Okay, so let's summarize. So grain can become mizonos if the kernels are either broken and even partially broken and then cooked, or if the kernels lose their form completely because you cooked them a lot, or you have the outer shell removed and the grains are sticking together as a result of the cooking. All those would give it a status of mizonos. Now we'll give you some practical applications for that. All right? So this is generally, but not necessarily, going to be cooked types of grains where you've processed cooked grains from the kernel stage on. And you've done something to the kernel. Now that food you're eating, it becomes mizonos. Okay? So let's give a few examples. Number one, barley. Okay? The barley you get in stores, when you buy the barley in the bag, what process has already happened? Right? It's generally milled, which means the outer shell is removed, and it's very common during that process of milling, the kernels are already broken, as pieces of the barley itself are removed. Therefore, when you cook barley, a thick, delicious barley soup, it's mizonos. That's a simple example. A barley soup, cooked barley, a whole bunch of barley over there, that would be mizonos. Okay, that's the easy one. Now we get to some tricky ones over here. Granola. What is granola? It consists mainly of oats that are steamed and then baked. That's how granola is made. And that process does not have the same effect as cooking. And therefore, the grains are considered still in their original form. Don't jump to conclusions. And the bracha would be theoretically ha'adama. Because it's just that kernels are still there. You only steamed it and baked it is not the same as cooking in water. It's a different thing that's happening over there. However, if the oat particles are steamed to the point where they adhere to one another, then it would be mizonos. Okay? So you should know most, so now there'd be a difference perhaps between granola and granola bars. Because granola bars are produced from cooked oats, and thus the bracha becomes mizonos. Okay? So if you're having a granola bar, generally speaking, they're cooked oats, and the cooked oats are ready, that's already the process, so that becomes adama. But if you have granola, that's all you want to see. That's the right answer there, right? If they're just steamed and baked and they're separately, then it's, and the book there will only have granola, which will say adama. So granola alone would be adama, but granola bars that are pressed together would become mizonos because it's a different process. One is cooked and one is steamed or baked.
How do we know it's not just the steamed or baked stuck together with honey?
Well, that's what the manufacturers usually say. You'd have to ask more questions to be exact on that, but that's the general rules that I found out. If one makes it different, then, you know, it becomes a little trickier. It becomes a little trickier, all right? But that's the general concept, okay? So you got to remember, cooking is the critical aspect here. If it's something besides that, toasted, you know, usually granola is toasted, right? Toasted and get pieces, separate pieces like that, would be adama.
The fact that they've husked it and taken out the kernel.
But you got to smash the kernel, and we're not smashing those kernels. We're not cooking those kernels. All right? So that the normal process is exposing the kernel, smashing the kernel, cooking it. Granola alone is toasted or baked or steamed, but not cooked. But when you're going to roll them together and then they become stuck together, then and when they're cooked, right, then that has the status of mizonos. So that's a tricky one. Granolas are tricky. Now, what did it say over there?
Doesn't have granola bars.
That's nothing against NCSY. I love that organization, but the Kashrus booklet is kind of outdated. In other words, it was written like a zillion years ago, and it's just not up to date with all the modern foods.
I've seen both.
Okay, so if it's controversial, it's controversial, you know.
Is
so
one lower than the other that covers...
Mizonos will be more of a general cover than adama. But then again, remember, no matter what, you're not after the fact wrong because it came from the ground anyway. So either way, you'll be okay. It's not a lie, so bidi evidu would be okay. But that's the general assumption. If it's just pieces of granola, then it's probably been steamed or baked, and it would be adama. If it's a bar, it's probably been cooked, and then that's shahakal.
We're going to talk about
mizonos. I'm sorry. Hold on, I'm going to come to this.
Okay.
Now, don't ask me every single cereal. I'm just going to tell you one cereal now. A puffed cereal. A puffed cereal that is, again, through steam and or pressure to the whole grains would be what? Adama. So those, what do you call those? Sugar crisp. Sugar crisp. That's puffed oats, right? Puffed oats, right?
Puffed rice.
That would be adama, because it's coming from the ground, okay? We're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to have a rice in a second, okay? So a puffed is not cooked, so it retains adama, okay? Because it hasn't been processed enough. Even though they put a bunch of sugar on it, that's not going to change it, okay? On the other hand, hot cereal like farina, right, that's made by ground up grains that are cooked. So that is obviously mizonos.
Oatmeal
is obvious mizonos because you're cooking it and it's been smashed and it's been all that and it gets sticky together. So most hot cereals will be mizonos, generally speaking, unless you got an exceptional case. But that's going to be mizonos. Okay. On the other hand, rice, both white rice and whole grain rice are sold without the outer shell in which they grow. But here's the difference now. Rice is normally cooked whole. You don't smash up pieces of rice. That's not how you do it. So you cook up the pieces of rice without any further processing. So the bracha is mizonos on rice, even though you haven't broken them up, ground them up with the cooking, because that's how rice is. Rice is a unique type of a grain, and that is enough. You just cook the rice, it's mizonos, and that's it. You don't have to smash it up like you'd have to do with the other things, okay? And the same would be true for rice cereals, like Rice Krispies, which are processed by cooking the rice first. And therefore, Rice Krispies would be mizonos, because it's first cooked. Maybe things happen afterwards, but it's first cooked, right? If the rice, here's an interesting one, if the rice is not cooked at all but just puffed, what would that be? What kind of case would be puffed rice? It could be a puffed rice cereal, but the more common thing is rice cakes. Rice cakes, and that's a big dieter's food, although they're totally not nutritious at all. But anyway, people eat them. The bracha would be adoma. Would be adoma because it's not cooked. It's just puffed. And that's all. So
even
that
though it's stuck together.
Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Only when you're cooking it and it sticks together. But puffed wouldn't do it. So that's a big one. Rice cakes, that's a famous food, is adoma. Okay, yeah?
It's puffed rice crisp, but that's it's puffed and fried, I think. To make it like it's got a puffy texture, but it's dry.
What is it?
Cereal.
Okay, we'll defer cereal questions for the cereal night. We're gonna have a cereal night. No, I'm not doing cereals. I just want to give you an example of this. Cereal's gonna get its whole night. So, you know, just email me that type of cereal. So when we do the cereal night, I'll give you the precise answer. Okay? Alright? Okay, now, got that? Now, you with us so far? So basically, just remember, if you're taking that kernel and it's smashed and something's happened to it and you're cooking it, it'll generally be mizonos. Rice is almost always going to be mizonos if it's cooked. Once you're puffing and you're steaming and that kind of stuff, it's going to be adoma. Okay? Generally speaking. Okay? That's the general rule to remember. Now, here's an interesting one. What if you eat raw flour or raw dough? What would be the bracha? And don't think I'm so crazy. Let me, a batter, a cake batter. You gotta take a taste of that cake batter, right? It's the best part of the whole cake is the cake batter, right? And the kids wanna lick the bowl, right? You definitely have to make a bracha on that, right? You're gonna, it's enjoyable, right? So what bracha would be on that? Shahakol, because that's not the way people normally eat it, even though it tastes well, but you're going to wait till it's a cake or something like that. All right? So it's like downgraded, as it were, to the status of shahakol. So it's really interesting. When you make a cake, it moves in status, you see, from being wheat, which was adoma, okay, flour, which is now shahakol, batter, which is now shahakol, but when you bake it, it becomes mizonos or hamotzi, depending on that, right? So that is the case with batters, okay? That is first part, okay? We're good with that? So that was generally, we'll call this the, what do I want to call this? I'll call it the processed grains. Okay, so this was the first topic, processed grains. All right. Alright, so that's the hot cereals, many cold cereals, okay, granolas,
rice cakes,
rice, right? That's one kind of mizonos type, alright? Type number one.
Rabbi,
so it's basically been processed and some kind of a processed food. Yeah.
The reason that rice is the little line is because it's normally cooked whole. Is that why exactly?
That's one thing. We'll see also when it comes to bread, we're going to see a big distinction. There's big distinctions in terms of breads. Okay?
Do we have cookies and cakes?
Coming up. Okay. Coming up. All right, I got to do everything in order. I try to make everything in nice little packages here so I can present it properly. Now we come to the next one. And this was pretty easy. Now things get a little trickier now, where we're now going to upgrade it even further now. We're going to upgrade it even further now. So far we've talked about processed, where it's basically cooked. Basically. That's the mizonos for cooking mizonos. When you take these grains and you make them into a flour, real flour now, and into a dough or into a batter, and then you bake it, right? That is a higher status, and we'll call that the bread or cake status. That could also be mizonos, might be a motzi, but it's a different league, mizonos. You understand the difference here? Here we're talking about cooked rice, cooked cereal, right? And now we're talking about cakes and cookies and breads, because now you've got a dough and you've got a batter and you're baking. Okay? So that's a whole different world. Okay? And what we're going to learn tonight is there are three categories in this world. Okay? Category number one is bread. Okay. How are we going to define bread? Okay? Bread is the most significant of all the mizonos because bread, until recently, was the staple of every meal, was the essential food, the staff of life, etc., etc. It's so special. It's a special bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, that Hashem, He brings forth food from the earth. So bread is in its own world. Okay? And included in bread is anything, we'll see the distinction between that and cakes. But basically, flour and water basically are the primary ingredients. You may have a little salt, maybe a little sugar, but primarily it's water. Flour and water, and that includes bagels, rye breads, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, all the kinds of breads and challahs, etc. that we normally have. We'll talk about a few others, but that's the general, that's a motzi. Okay? That's a motzi. And don't forget, whenever you have a motzi, there's another bracha that gets tied in with that. You have to wash your hands. You have to do al netilas yadayim. I'm not going to get into that. And that becomes the whole thing that goes with the motzi ballgame. Now, that is the first category. The second category, this is the hard one now, is called pas, I'll explain it, haba'a bekisnin. That's the way the Gemara calls it. Literally means pas is bread. Now, in Hebrew, bread is called, I'm writing Hebrew, is called pas. Pas is bread. Talmudic term for bread. But then we got pas haba that comes bekisnin, in a kisnin. Now the question is, what does the word kisnin mean? So there's three different opinions as to what kisnin means, and in Jewish law, all three are accepted. All right? So there's three types where it's a bread-like, but it's not really a bread, because it's got these extra two words. Haba bekisnin. It comes with kisnin. So what are these things? So we're going to have three subdivisions of this that are all important to know. The first one we'll call it a sweet dough, which is basically the same thing as a bread. The main ingredients, again, we know in bread is flour and water. When you add other ingredients, and we'll see how much in a minute, such as eggs, sugar, honey, cocoa, fruit juice, those kinds of things, and the result becomes a sweeter tasting pastry, what we typically call cake, okay, then that is what we call a sweet dough. So the common one, but not only, is cake. So now, when does pas switch from bread to cake? Well, you say, well, it says in my recipe book, it calls it a cake, right? But what have you done here? So there's got to be a criteria that when does it shift from being a bread to a cake? Now, I know you ladies make challahs. So you put some sugar in, and it's sweet. Does that make it a cake all of a sudden? Somebody say, the challah tastes just like cake. So now, when do you draw the line? How much you put in? So there's a rule of thumb, very simple. If the volume of ingredients added to the dough is more than the volume of water, then the resulting pastry has a sweet-like taste like cake. It's considered cake. It's not considered bread. So you have to measure the amount of water you have versus other ingredients. Okay? So how much water, I mean, I'm a little ignorant. You make a challah, how much water do you put in? 4 cups of water, right? And a cup has how many ounces? 16 ounces? What's a cup? Eight ounces, okay? That's 32 ounces of water, right? That's what, a pint, a quart? It's something. I know it's something. I forgot all these things. A quart, now I'm in Canada. A quart. So now if you would add now ingredients of sugar and apple juice, or let's say you weren't using water, you were using apple juice, like apple cider, because even the apple juice has a lot of water, so you'd have to decide how much is water, how much is it. But like a real juice, right? And you got cocoa and other things, and it's more than the water, and sometimes you're not going to use any water. Some pastries you're going to use eggs and other things, and it's very little water. So that's the rule of thumb. If there's more of the other ingredients than the water, it has halachic status of cake. So even when you make a sweet challah, how much, what are you putting in? A cup of sugar? Okay, but still, that's not more than the four cups of water. Right? It's still not more than the four cups of water. But you have to realize, if the numbers are switching and they're getting close, if you're going to put in now 2 cups of sugar and 2 cups of honey, I'm just saying, and 6 eggs, So now you've gone more than that than the water, then even if you shape it like a challah, it's going to be a cake. I mean, you could theoretically shape it like a cake, but it's a challah. I think there's terms of it. It's like a bund cake. I don't know what they call it. But I don't know. A babka, right? Whatever they call it. But I'm saying, okay, I'm not in the bakery business here, okay? But that's the general rule of thumb. I mean, generally, you know the difference between a challah and a cake, right? It's very hard to make a challah into cake unless it's extremely sweet. Right, but when you make a cake, right? When you make a cake, you make a cake from scratch, right? You're not using a lot of water when you're making a cake from maybe a little bit, no water. I don't make cakes lately. Only cakes I make are like out of the box, Betty Crocker. I don't think there's any water in cake, very little. But it's basically eggs, sugar, some sweet what?
There's
got to
be liquid.
Some liquid, but not. But it's the eggs and the other stuff. And there's a little bit of water, but not a lot of water, right? And usually it's a batter, right? So that is a cake. You see? So that's category 2. So that's one of the pasa baba kisnins, which bread is hamotzi. The pasa baba kisnin is going to be mizonos. Okay? So the first kind is basically sweet dough cakes. Yes, sir.
It's that second category. You can't think from ice cream. You can't use
if you're eating one piece of cake, and I'll talk more about that later, you make a mizonos.
If you put such a cake, so-called cake out.
Oh, as a challah? Let's say you made a challah and you really warped it sweet like crazy. You could not make a mozi on it under most conditions. You'll have to wait. Could be some, but under most conditions. So let me ask a question now. What brach would you make on raisin bread?
Not much.
Okay, depends how many raisins you put in. If you're putting in a few raisins just, to be Yitzhak Zayin Rosh Hashanah, right? Okay, there's still a lot more water than raisins. What if you put in 4 cups of raisins?
2 scoops of raisins.
Four cups of raisins. And then on top of that, eggs. And on top of that, sugar. I mean, that's going to be a very interesting looking challah, right? And it might look more like a raisin cake, right? But then it would be mizonos. I'm just giving you an idea. So that's example number 1 of pasa baba kisnin, that the bracha is mizonos.
You have to say eights on the raisins?
Not in that situation, because it's part of a bread and mizonos. Okay, next type of pasa baba kisnin is a filled dough. Where what you're doing, usually when you make bread, you don't fill it with anything, right? But a pastry or a pie that's baked with a filling, even though the dough is 100%, could have been a challah dough. It's challah dough, let's say. But I shape it as something to fill it with something inside of it. Now that's going to do something to the dough. It's going to absorb the taste of whatever you put in there. Of the jam or the meat or the potatoes or whatever you're doing over there, that taste getting in. Now obviously there's got to be such enough filling that it's significant enough to change the taste of the dough. If you're not changing the taste of the dough, you put in like one token piece of meat and a whole huge thing. But if there's a lot in there, then that will change it to become mizonos. The typical examples would be blintzes, a cheese Danish, a hot dog wrapped in phyllo dough, barakas, apple pie, any dough filled with chocolate, nuts, cherry filling, potato, meat, right? Things that are filled with stuff inside. Okay, you could have like crazy cases, you know, maybe just a little bit of amount, but your traditional foods that I've just mentioned, filled dough, that's what it is, will get a bore mine mizonos. Because, now very interestingly, let me show you how far this goes. Let's say you have a nice apple pie. And you decide you only want to eat the crust. So after they bake the apple pie, and it's a regular apple pie, so you get rid of the apples. And all that's left is the pie. What bracha you make on it? Still mizonos. Because it's absorbed the sweet taste of the apples, has gone into the filling, into the crust, and that crust would be mizonos. Okay. So that is the second example. Alright? Third example, we will call thin and crispy. Thin and crispy. Bread is usually soft and usually is thick and not crispy, right? But if you make thin, brittled, baked goods, on the other hand, that are generally eaten as a snack, so those foods are like crackers, pretzels, bread sticks, any one of these kinds of wafers, you name them, all these kinds of wafers that you have, they're all mizonos.
So like the
flatbreads, mizonos, even if it says bread, it's still mizonos. Bread stick, it's still mizonos, because it's thin and crispy. We're going to talk about pizza in a minute. That gets its own discussion, all right? So generally, what's the general thought of pasabah bekisnim? You wouldn't typically use it to make a sandwich, like you would with bread. You would typically not eat it with staple foods like meat and fish, as you would with bread. And it's usually eaten as a snack and a dessert and not in the context of a full meal. That distinguishes bread from the others, okay? So a baked good in any one of these three types, any one, are not considered bread, but rather they're considered what? Pas habah bekisnin. Okay, now, in a second you can. Now, let me tell you, we will learn, maybe today, most likely next week, this category sometimes, under certain circumstances, will get the bracha of hamotzi. It's a discussion for another time. But I'm just putting that little bug in your ear, where pasabah bekisnin will not be mizonos, but theoretically on any one of these foods you could make a mizonos, a motzi under certain circumstances. Yes, question.
Okay, they have the breads, pletzeloch. They're thin, but you can put butter on it and you eat it like you would eat a bagel, but it's very thin.
It's still thin and crispy.
Okay.
Right? So it would be mizonos. Thin and crispy. It's not a bread. Right, we will see. There might be times when you could make a motzi on it, but we'll have to discuss that later. Okay. Now, the third category of the bread, cake, baking variety is called maaseh kedeira, which literally means something you make in the pot. That doesn't necessarily have to only be made in the pot, and we'll explain what that means. But basically, what's happened now, we've talking about things that have been a dough that's been baked. What about a dough that is cooked? Right? So these are doughs. Let me change this to a dough. But while bread and pasabah bekisnin is baked, masa kedeira is cooked. As opposed to these things here, these aren't doughs. These things up here, the processed grains, they aren't doughs at all, right? Got rice, that's not a dough, right? But here you got a dough, but instead of baking it in the oven, you're boiling it in water or cooking it in something. So that's called maaseh kedeira. It does not resemble bread at all. Bread's loaf-like and a dry texture. Maaseh kedeira is not. It's going to be liquidy because it was cooked, right? So it's not considered pas habah bekisnin. It's not pas, it's not bread. It's masa kedeira. Foods included in that is pasta, right? Oatmeal, and, let's say, matzo balls. Matzo balls, right? And therefore, and we'll see some other things, and therefore pasta, if you eat oodles of noodles, even if you eat 5 pounds of noodles, right, the bracha is going to be mizonos under all circumstances. Now, there could get some interesting situations. How about a pancake? Which one, where does a pancake fall into what category here? A pancake. A good old-fashioned Aunt Jemima pancake. Right? So what would you say? So the answer is it depends how much oil is used. If the pancakes are deep fried, I mean, that's really, right? That would be cooking, right? And then that would be clearly masa kedera, right? But what if the pancakes are just fried with a little bit of oil to keep them from burning? Then their halachic status is really baked. And then we go up to the category of pasa bo bekisnin, which we'll see could have some implications, because we said sometimes you could make a motzi on these. So it depends. The bracha is still going to be mizonos either way, but possibly they could be changed later. Now here's a very important one, real important. Where does donuts fit in?
They're deep fried.
So which one is it?
It depends whether they're baked or deep fried. There's different kinds of donuts.
Most donuts.
Deep fried.
Nice, good, fattening donuts.
Deep fried.
They're maisa kedera. Right? Aren't most donuts deep fried?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you make home baked donuts, but they're not going to taste like donuts. That's not a real donut, right? So now, interesting. So the deep-fried donuts, no matter how many donuts you eat, will never be a possible of a kissing, will never have a possible Shiloh of being a mozi. Okay? Donut. Now, you're wondering, why am I... It's all mazonas anyway, but remember, because this category can sometimes be a mozi. This category can never be hamotzi. It's very good. Bread is always hamotzi. Masa kedera is always mizonos. Pasa bobekisin is usually mizonos, but on certain occasions, which will be explained, could be hamotzi. You with me there? You with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, how about another question? French toast. What's that?
Bread.
So that's hamotzi. It's a bread. It was a piece of bread. It still looks like a piece of bread. It's just got some egg over it. But that's a clear hamotzi, right? How about a bagel? Now think a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Think.
Bagel.
Okay, now what do you do? They're cooked, but then subsequently baked. And therefore they're hamotzi.
Aren't some just boiled in that?
Not that I'm aware of. Can't be just boiled. Can't be just boiled. It could be more than that, but it can't be just boiled, okay?
What does it become? Sorry, boiled and then baked becomes...
It becomes bread, because it's baked. It's baked, right? While a donut ain't that way, a donut is fried. And since it's fried, it's cooked, and it's mizonos. You with me so far? It's good? I'm trying to take it slow, so that we won't forget this stuff. Yes, sir?
I asked you about matzo, which is...
We are going to get to that in the next section. I'm trying to do one thing at a time to get everything clear. Okay, just what's on the table here. We now know four types of, you know, processed 5 grains. Right? That's what we got so far. We got the processed grains that are basically cooked, where you've taken the husk off, you've got the kernel, you've smashed the kernel, you have something to the kernel, you're cooking it afterwards, and that's a mizonos area in its own, and it doesn't enter the cake bread world at all, will always be mizonos. Sometimes it's adama, if it's not cooked, if it's been puffed, or it's been steamed, right? It could be adama, right? That's a possibility. Then we have the bread zone. We got real bread, it's flour and water, and anything like that is hamotzi. We've got the pasa bobekisin, which is good old-fashioned dough with something else. Either a lot of other ingredients, or it's filled, or it's thin and crispy, is mizonos. Pasa bobekisin, and finally masa kedera, where you've got the dough, but instead of baking it, you are cooking or frying it, and that's always going to be mizonos. That's the general categories. That's as much as I wanted to cover tonight, okay? Whatever I do extra is a bonus, but I'm not going to quiz you on the extra stuff. Yes, sir?
couple of times Rabbi mentioned no matter how much quantity you consume, he said, you know, it always remains.
Why? Because we're going to get to the next part now. It was just a foreshadowing. Is everybody clear on these points? Okay, when you leave, what I'm going to ask you to review is only up till 9 o'clock. Okay? In other words, what we've done till now, you're going to get two review sheets and get two quizzes. It's up till now. What I'm doing now, it's going to get complicated. I'm going to do it just to do it. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to, maybe you'll get it on the first time. Usually it needs two times, so we'll do it for about 10 minutes. And if you get it, if you don't, I'm going to start again from this point next week. Okay? So this is the hard part now. Right? Everything else has been easy, right? Right?
No.
Right?
No.
It's been a piece of cake.
Ah, oh, where are you, Paul?
Very good.
You're dethroned as the king of puns. Okay. All right? So that's okay. Now, again, and here we come to the point. Remember, bread, always hamotzi. Masa kidera, always mizonos. This, always mizonos. Here, it will depend. And that's what we're going to talk about now. What? If it's processed, cooked, if it's cooked, you've gone through the three processes, it will always be mizonos. If you're short of the process, it could be an adama. But if you've done the processing properly, it will have to be mizonos. Okay. So now, yes, sir?
No. Are there other grains from other parts of the world?
Not that I'm aware of. A lot of them are subsumed under this, right? Like I think that kamut is a wheat.
Yeah.
It's a type of wheat. But it there's not too many, unless you can think of something else, but it wouldn't fall into this category. Do you have any in mind? We could research it.
It was something like sorghum or something?
I'm not aware of it.
I'm not aware of it.
These are the ones that the Torah talks about, and that really the Torah says chita usoro, wheat and barley, and these three are considered halakhically subcategories of wheat and barley. So probably whatever else we'll find, rice is a different animal. But this will fit under that category.
But things like cornmeal.
We're going to talk about. Well, that's corn.
Even if you.
That's corn. It doesn't matter. That's corn. It's not one of these things.
So
what if I make potato flour?
Right.
It's going to be a shahakol because it's just potatoes. Right. So that's not an issue. All right. So here's the point. This category here of pas habav kisnin. The general rule is. The question you have to ask yourself in this area is, am I eating it as a snack or am I eating it in the context of a meal? That's a critical question. If you're eating it as a snack, I'm having a piece of cake as a snack or any of the other pas habah bekisnins that are here, apple pie as a snack, then the bracha is mizonos, right? Because it's not actually bread. However, when it's eaten as a meal and generally in the place of bread, then that cake attains the status of bread and the bracha will be hamotzi even if it's on a piece of cake. So, for example, if you have a nice chocolate cake and you plan on eating, I'll give you a simple example, the entire chocolate cake. It's a big football game coming up. You got a quart of milk and a chocolate cake in front of you, and you anticipate by halftime it's gone, right? Then you'll go to the sink, you'll wash netilas yadayim, you will take it in your hands, you'll make the bracha hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, and then you will bench the four blessings of benching after that. Yes, because it is pas. It is bread. But usually not eaten like bread is eaten. But if all you're eating for dinner is a chocolate cake, okay, we'll give other examples, you have now elevated it to bread. And this is a unique case where you would take a piece of cake, according to all opinions, if you're planning on eating that much, it doesn't have to be a whole cake, even much less, you'll see. You would make a motzi and treat it like a piece of bread. Okay? That is the law. I'm going to give you more explanations. I'm just giving you that idea.
Apple pie.
Same thing. You plan on eating a whole apple, now you have to know how much crust is there. Now there's an issue now. It depends. Some apple pies got tons of apple and very little crust. But if there, we'll have to see. I'm going to give you some numbers in a minute. You have to crunch the numbers to know, not all apple pies are created equal. Chocolate cake is easier to understand because it's all dough. An apple pie isn't. But theoretically, if you ate enough knishes, you'd have to make a motzi, That it becomes a stick, not your issue, because stuffed things, a lot of non-mizonos food included with the mizonos food. So we'll see. But theoretically, if you ate 12 knishes, you know, you probably would have to make a motzi and bench on that too.
A bag of pretzels?
A large bag of pretzels, yes. If that's going to be your meal, you're driving from Toronto to Buffalo, you know, and you want to eat something, and you have a big, nice bag of pretzels, and that's your meal, you would make a motzi on that. Yes. Anything that's possible. Take a box of Tam Tams. And you're going to down the box of Tam Tams. And not even that much. You would make a motzi on that. Let me give you some important numbers. So it'll give you a little bit of a mindset. So, in other words, it's you're eating cake in place of bread. So now, how do you differentiate between a snack and a meal? That's the question. When does something leave the world of snack and becomes a meal? That's been a dieter's dilemma their entire life. Because I'm just saying a little snack, and somehow you weigh more, and sometimes it's not a snack, it's a meal. So there's a lot of different rabbinic opinions, but the prevailing opinion is as following. We judge according to the amount of bread that people normally eat in a meal. Okay? If you would eat this corresponding amount instead of bread, it was cake or crackers, then the cake or crackers becomes a motzi, and there's a term that we call, it's called in Hebrew, kidei su'uda. That means the amount you would normally eat at a su'uda, at a meal. In other words, if I'm eating bread, let's say Friday night. I mean, no one's going to make a motzi on cake, but I'm just saying, Friday night when we eat bread. During the week, we don't necessarily eat so much bread. I'll give you a simpler example. A tuna fish sandwich. All right? So you take two pieces of bread, you put some tuna fish on, and you're certainly going to make a motzi in there. But what if you decide to take enough crackers to be the amount of bread that will be eaten with the tuna? I don't know. Let's say 20 little crackers. And that would be, you know, and that would be your meal. I don't want to wash. I'm going to take crackers instead. And you take 20 crackers, you make 20 of these little cracker sandwiches with the tuna. Well, what are you really doing? I'm having crackers instead of bread. Well, if you got enough, if that's going to be lunch, guess what? You're making a motzi on those crackers. You got to make a motzi on those crackers because it's the tantamount to bread. Right? If you're going to eat less than that, if I'm only just one cracker with tuna, well, that's not a whole meal. That's for sure not a whole meal, and that would just be a mizonos. But if having 20 crackers with tuna, don't tell me that's not a meal. That was your lunch, and that becomes your lunch, right? Now, so therefore, when you're determining the volume, you've got to take certain things into consideration. Number one, if you're eating things with other foods or if you're eating it alone. So if you're eating pas habavikisin with other foods, like the crackers and tuna, if you're eating crackers equivalent to the amount of bread you normally would have eaten, if you were having a tuna fish sandwich, that is considered like bread. And you must wash and bench and everything. And for that matter, Eddie, then you might as well take the bread. But if you don't, you like the crackers, right? Now here's where rice cakes beats you. You know, get around it. Because a rice cake, what do we know about a rice cake? What's the problem on a rice cake? It's in this world, right? It doesn't come into this world. You can eat 5 billion rice cakes, you'll never make a motzi. So that's why if you want to, for whatever reason, not bench, I don't know, people have this thing, they don't like to bench, I don't know why, it's a wonderful mitzvah, get 4 brachas, but people have enough time, whatever. So if the alternative to bread to not make a motzi alternative would be rice cakes. Because that's clearly not in this world. Right? And there's not a lot more that fit into that criteria. So you want rice type of items that are like that. So that's number one. But what if you're only eating cake alone? Then we would say like this. Well, what if you're only eating bread? How much bread alone would constitute a meal? Let's say you don't have anything else to eat. Just have bread. How much bread? So if you ate that amount of cake and that was it, that becomes a whole meal. So the rabbis say basically a normal bread meal to fill you up will be 3 pieces of bread. 3 pieces of bread alone should, you know, I'm not talking about chazerim over here. If you eat 3 pieces of bread, that could pretty much fill you up. So if you have enough cake, like 3 pieces of bread, you got to wash and make a motzi. So you don't need a whole chocolate cake anymore. Three nice sized pieces, a good gesunta piece. Let's say a quarter of a cake. Depends how big your cakes are. But three good solid pieces, then you'd have to wash and bench, because that's a meal. That's a wash meal. Or even better yet, what if let's say you're one of these skinny people, you know, you weigh 84 pounds, you have a small stomach, and if you eat two pieces, you're already full. Then you'd wash and bench on that. Right? So now where does this have the most practical application? Well, it's got a lot, obviously, but the kiddushes and shul. Let's pick last Shabbos' kiddush. The Eisen's kiddush was a wonderful kiddush, but there's its major halachic minefield. You know, I didn't take a good look at the kiddush, but I did notice there were cakes there, right? There was a lot of pasabah b'kisnin. Wasn't there a lot of pasabah b'kisnin? You had crackers, and you had nice pastries, and you had cakes. So let's say you do the following. You take a nice plate, and you take about, you know, five or six crackers, and two or three of those nice cakes that were over there, and then you take some, I guess there was some fish over there, you take some fish, and a few other items, and really, that was a pretty good meal. Well, if that would have been bread instead of the crackers, that would have been a meal. Then really, you have to wash, make a mozi, and bench.
Just the quantity of crackers, it's the other side.
That's the point. It's together, how much, if this was a bread meal, if I would have given you, instead of the crackers, a piece of bread.
No, you mentioned
fish. Okay. No, but it's all the food together. Remember, it's how much bread you would eat at a meal. So if, let's say you're at a meal, right, and you've got fish, and you've got cholent, and you've got kugel, and you've got the other things, and you have a piece of bread, you would certainly bench on such a meal. You don't have to have, like, half a piece of bread.
Right.
Would be enough. I mean, you have to have some, right? You have to have at least a kezias bread, but half a piece of bread would be enough bread with all the other things to make a mozi. So if you're having, you know, six or seven crackers, which is, you know, about the same, and a couple pieces of cake, then you're in mozi land. So therefore, and that's very serious. So therefore, what you got to do is you got to make sure they got a lot of halachic problems over here, because to be miyotze kiddush, to fulfill eating a kiddush, there's Shabbos laws now, you have to have mezonos. You got to have something from this territory to make it a kosher kiddush for you. Now, if you're going to take donuts, well, then that's safe. Now you see where the donut becomes a very good option at a kiddush, as opposed to other mizonos. Or you said pasta salad. So if I want to fulfill kiddush, I could do that with pasta salad, because that's a mizonos. I could do that with donuts, because that's a mizonos. And then the other foods, and I won't go ever into the washing benching zone. Lakshin kugel is also masa kedera, right? That's okay. But once I take any of these guys, any of them, that puts me in the bread category potentially, and then I I've got to eat enough for kiddush. Well, that's going to be enough with all the other foods that you're going to have to bench. So therefore, if you're going for pasa bava kisnin at a kiddush, just have a little bit and don't eat any other food. Just have enough to make an alamichya and don't eat any other food. And if you're going to get any other food, you're in danger. Once you know how it is with kiddush, once you start, you keep going, right? And if you're really loading up on a kiddush, you most likely would have to wash, bench, and all those things. You got to be very careful. Another example is the infamous mizonos roll. The infamous mizonos roll that you find on airplanes. You get a kosher meal, and they give you this mizonos roll, ostensibly so you don't have to get up and wash, because it's hard to wash on a plane. But if you got a mizonos roll, and then a whole thing of meat, a little meat thing over there, and a fruit, and a dessert, and a this and a that, well, my goodness, you for sure have to wash a bench. No question about it. So what do? Don't eat the mizonos roll. It's a long flight, put it away. Eat it 2 hours later separately, by itself. But together you for sure would have to wash and bench. So now let's go even further. What about breakfast? What if you have the following breakfast? A cheese Danish and scrambled eggs. You'd have to wash and bench on that, because that's a meal for breakfast? How much do you eat for breakfast already? I would normally have two pieces of toast, right? And some eggs, and that'll be breakfast, right? Now, good Danish, that's worth two pieces of bread easily. A big, a good Meisig, you know, those good mouth-watering Danishes. That if you have a Danish and eggs, you'd have to wash them back, China. So you gotta be really careful with these things. Okay? We're just at time, so we're gonna leave this. This was like extra. This part we did was extra. I'm gonna review that part again.